unfortunately, a lot of believers are not intact with God. They come to church, they have the religious mantra, they once were on fire for God, but somehow, some way, they lost their spiritual fervor.
Everybody in the world has a specific gift, talent, whatever it is that God has called to fulfill in this earth, to give him the glory.
How important is it to share the faith with those who are not secured in salvation?
But the devil can be smart enough to say, I'm not going to hell alone. Why can't we be smart enough to say, I'm not going to heaven alone?
That's good. That's good.
I want somebody to escape. Hell wasn't built for us. Yeah. It was built for him. Why are we going with him?
We hear a lot about it. There are a lot of prophets and different people saying, you know, the coming of Jesus is near. What are the end times?
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast,
where we talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
And we are back with another episode. Clap it up, clap
let's
it up,
do
clap
it, let's it up. Do it.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Glad to be back, glad to be back.
And we have a very, 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 very,
very,
very,
very,
very,
very
special guest here once again.
Yeah.
For the third time.
Third time.
On a new season. But I feel like this might be the most important episode of all the three.
I agree.
Would you like to do the honors of introducing our very, very, very,
very
special guest?
Yes, today we have the honor and the privilege of sitting down with our father. You know, we have our dad here, Bishop Clarence Sellers. And today we're going to be talking about the end times. But we're just glad to have you here. This is one of your favorite topics to talk about. And yeah, welcome back. Welcome back.
Well, it's a delight to be back. I'm glad to be here with both of my sons. Thank God for... I praise God for what God has blessed you all to be able to do through More Purpose podcast. And it's a thrill of my life as a father to have this conversation with my sons and allow the world to eavesdrop in on us.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So as y'all can see, we have the goat in the building. You know what I'm saying? But we are all here to really sound an alarm on something that in the Christian community is really kind of being overlooked in a way, I guess.
Yeah.
And especially for our generation, we want to really emphasize the importance of knowing that this life is going to come to an end at some point.
Yeah.
It's going to come to an end at some point. So that's what we're going to be touching on today. But you had something that you wanted to say real quick?
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. Again, we are talking about the end times. And we have this conversation with our dad in our rooms. He walks in and he talks about it. And, you know, he eases his way out. But, yeah, we want to have this conversation because we do feel like this is the most important topic that many people don't talk about. And I remember growing up and I would hear you guys talk about the end times, and I would be scared for my life, you know? I would be scared, like, you know, am I going to be able to get married? Am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to have a career? Am I going to be able to fulfill all the dreams and different things? Did you feel that way too?
Nah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I feel like there's a generation that feels the exact same way, and they have not been properly educated on what the end times are. So I think it's going to be a great conversation.
I think so too, my boy.
Yeah, so we're going to start at Matthew 24. We want to start off with a verse, Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to be reading from verse 36. The title says, "No one knows the day or the hour." Again, this is Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. It says, "Now concerning that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, except the Father alone. As the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. Verse 39, they didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the same way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with the handmill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief was coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. Verse 44, this is why you are also to be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." I used to hear these words and I would be like, yo, this is actually kind of crazy. And it was actually, it was a movie that came out a long time ago. I think it was called Left Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it really scared the mess out of me. It was people in airplanes and the pilot would disappear. It was people giving birth. Somebody would disappear. A doctor would disappear. And it was a depiction of the end times. I'm like, wow, this actually feels like a movie. And I feel like you break it down the best like a movie. So we just wanted to start off first with the question, what is the end times? You know, we hear a lot about it. There are a lot of prophets and different people saying, you know, the coming of Jesus is near. What are the end times?
Well, the end times, known from theological terms, is eschatology. Eschatology is the doctrine of last things. It really speaks to the culmination of all things mankind, the culmination of all things of this earth. A lot of times people do not understand that not only does food have expirations, you know, you go to 7-Eleven, you go to the grocery store, wherever, and you look at the perishable items and they all have an expiration date on it. And the truth of the matter is, we have expiration dates. Mm-hmm. But not only do we have expiration dates, the earth has an expiration date. Yeah. The sun is a star that will go into a death span. Wow. And will cease to be. Everything about this world has an expiration date. And if you think about the truth of that fact, is the fact that we live in time. Mm-hmm. We're not living in eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not living in everlasting posture at this moment. We live in time. Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a season and there's a time upon it for everything. And so with that, the world has an end date. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, oftentimes in this day and time, it seems as if the world is more conscious and cognitive to the reality that there is an end date than the church people.
Wow.
You don't hear a lot of churches preaching or teaching or saying anything about eschatology, anything about the apocalypse, mm-hmm. anything about Bible prophecy, of the things that are noted with the end times and the unfolding of biblical prophecy of the rapture,
yeah. mm-hmm.
of what many people know as the tribulation period, mm-hmm. What people know what will be the battle of Armageddon,
yeah.
and then what the Bible talks about, a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth, mm-hmm. And then the new heavens and the new earth. All of this is a part of end time things. Things unfold in history one after the other in a sequence, and I think that more attention, more conversation needs to be had,
yeah.
Because as the text gave us, if you're not alert, if you're not vigilant, you'll be caught with your works undone.
Yeah.
And so that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, I kind of want to touch on something because, you know, you are very much older than us, right?
True, thank God.
Amen. Right, but I'm sure, because if somebody watching this, they would be like, you know, I hear this all the time. So I kind of want you to talk about, you know, growing up in church, you are a PK as well, mm-hmm. and you've heard this same message that we've heard, but how much more serious is it now? So you can kind of just give us a little glimpse of what was it like growing up and you was hearing this message, you know, the Jesus is coming back soon, the rapture is coming, get yourself right, get your life mm-hmm. together.
I think, as a child, times again were so much different.
Yeah.
Because there was the clarion call to repentance. Mm-hmm. I came up in a generation of hellfire and brimstone.
Yeah.
holiness or hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a different time. But I appreciate mm-hmm. the fact that I grew up in that time because it helped us to have a God consciousness.
Yeah.
It also helped us to have the fear of the Lord, mm-hmm. And to be mindful of our behavior, be mindful of the times that we were living in. So I heard throughout my childhood, Jesus is soon to return. And I had some of the same fears you espoused. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to be able to get married. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to go to college. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And as I got older, around 14, 15 years old, I started, you know, inquiring. And I kept asking questions, and nobody seemed to have answers.
Yeah.
They knew that Jesus was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They knew about heaven. They knew hell. They knew to preach heaven or hell. But they couldn't answer my questions. And then around about 15, I asked my father. And I said, Dad, you know, what is this and what is that? What is the mark of the beast?
Yeah.
And what is all this stuff that Revelation talk about? And he said, son, just live right.
Yeah,
yeah. He said, and if you live right, the Bible says, Jesus says, where I am, there will you be also.
So I was in sin when I was scared.
I was scared. My life wasn't together yet.
Right. So, you know, but that's a, you know, I think that's where everybody is when you don't know, when there's a level of ignorance or lack of knowledge. It's the unknown makes everybody fearful. Yeah. And so the simplicity of my father's answer bothered me because he weren't fully answering my question. He's just like, just live right. You're going to be wherever he is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that put me on a search. And I began to read the Bible. My father happened to have bought a Bible. It was called the Curban-Salem Bible. Mm-hmm. And that particular Bible gives a specific focus on end times, on eschatology. And when you read it, it will have like a timeline on the bottom of the page that kind of helped you to understand events, because the Bible is not written. Well, the outline of the Bible is not in order.
Yeah.
And when you even when you read the book of Revelations, the chapters are not necessarily in chronological order of the sequence of events. And so then they had its commentary around it and examples and pictures and illustrations. And so that, I don't know how why he bought it, because obviously he wasn't reading it for that purpose. He might have been reading it for the just general purpose of the Bible. But I was drawn to eschatology. I was drawn to biblical prophecy about the end times. And so I just happened to come upon it, and I started studying. And one night, I read the book of Revelations from back, from the front to the back in one night. I came back the next day, and I read it twice, because I was so enamored with the fact that that particular Bible picked it apart and gave you time frames. And even when you went back to the Old Testament, you can kind of see how things fit. And it turned into, like you said, a movie to me. I could see it because of how it was placed in Scripture in that particular Bible. And then my first time preaching, I was 16 years old at the historic Mount Tabor Church of God in Christ, where I'm now blessed to be the pastor. And at 16 years old, I preached out of Revelations, coming from Revelations, the fourth chapter, and kind of gave a summary of almost the entire book. And it was a long message. And, it was my first time preaching. I was nervous, but I had a passion. And one of the things that during that time frame in my prayer time, because I was an avid prayer as a teenager, I spent time with God. I spent time in prayer, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me in my prayer time and say, you're going to be my end time prophet. You're going to be my end time voice. And I didn't understand altogether what that meant at that particular time, but I just knew that God had called me to be a voice for him in the end times. And that was scary for me, because I was like, I don't want to be one of the last voices. You know, how did everybody else in history have so much fun and enjoyed their life, and now look like life is running out when I get here? And God said, I have assigned you to this hour. I was 16 years old. That was 32 years ago. And now it's like, wow. The Holy Spirit spoke to me earlier this year and said, this is your moment. This is your hour. I have built you for this season. And when I look at all that is going on in the world today, it's amazing to me that what I preached at 16, I am seeing the manifestation of so many of those things now. If you just go back, well, if you can't go back to my day, but even in your day, everybody's familiar with the Jetsons. The Jetsons was out before I was born. And to see that in today's day, we're living and coming into what the Jetsons foretold all of those years ago. And so it just lets you know that time is winding up, and it behooves all of us to get ready and to stay ready.
I actually love that, because you going from 16 to now, of already giving a clarion call in the way of letting people know, like, hey, Revelation is real. The rapture will come. The end times is near. And seeing how more relevant it is even in today's time, especially for our generation as well. I love that Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13 kind of tie into each other. But I feel like for our generation specifically, it ties more So for the people that's coming into the faith and those that's already been in the faith, mm-hmm. that may have dozed off in a way spiritually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I love how at the end of church you always ask or get the option of for people that like may have already been Christians, but they may have backslid, or they may have, fallen off. They drifted away a little bit. I love how Mark 13 is basically like the wake-up call of saying like, hey, just because you don't know when he's going to come back doesn't mean that it's time to go to sleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would like to read it real quick and give emphasis for those that don't have that alarm set off in their head yet. Like, hey, no, there's not the time to be playing around. But Mark chapter 13, NLT version, and it says for verse 32 through 37, it says, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. And since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard, stay alert. Verse 34, the coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each one of his slaves instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to keep watch for his return. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. I say to you, what I say to everyone, watch for him. And I love how it says in the scripture about in verse 34, where it says the coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his slaves or servants instructions about the work they were to do. And he told the gatekeeper to keep watch for his return. The time frame that we're in right now, I'm starting to realize who the gatekeepers are. That guy is actually allowing to set that alarm off or give a clarion call in the way to announce and show everybody, hey, Jesus is soon to return.
Yeah.
I'm seeing way more pastors, prophets, different people that God has called to really set that alarm off and let people know, like, hey, the time is near. Like, y'all get your work done, fulfill your assignments, whatever it is that God's called you to do, because he's soon to return. But I'm also understanding that everybody has their own specific assignment that they're supposed to fulfill before he gets back.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I love how it breaks it down and says everybody has a set of instructions that they're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a gift. Everybody has an amount of seeds they're supposed to sow. Everybody has an amount of souls they're supposed to save or amount of people that's called to their lives that they're called to impact or to spread the gospel or the good news in some type of way.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't realizing that since they fell asleep, they're going to get caught lacking if they don't lock back in and tighten up, because you don't know when the time will come. And before I throw it, pass it to you real quick, one of my friends, I'm not going to say his name, one of my friends had a dream. I'll tell you this because it's crazy. But it really sent an alarm off for me personally, because he said he had a dream, and this is what sparked us even reading Mark 13 in the first place. We had a dream that he was at home, and he was about to cook food, and his mom came in there and said, you don't got to cook food. I'm cook food for the house. So he went to go take a nap. He went to go take a nap, and when he went to go take a nap, his mom came in the room and said, hey, wake up. Jesus was looking for you. He said, what you mean Jesus was looking for me? She said, yeah, he just left. He was looking for you. He was calling your name, but you won't answer it. He said, what you mean he was calling my name? Like, why you ain't wake me up? She was like, oh, I thought you was going to wake up by yourself, but he just left. So he got mad and he woke up. So when he woke up, he was like, it was certain scriptures that he kept hearing. And I was like, remind me of Mark 13, where it said, don't get caught sleeping before you don't know the hour I'll be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was asleep when Jesus came. And it made me really think about like how crazy it would be if you're asleep, Jesus comes looking for you to take you with him, but you're not ready.
Wow.
Can I chime in on that? Interesting. That dream, what that dream brought to my mind was the scripture on the parable of the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
Five were wise, five were foolish.
Yeah.
And the five that were wise had their lamps trimmed and burning bright.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and the call went out, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Yeah.
And the five foolish realized they didn't have enough oil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they asked the five wise of their oil. And the five wise said, we can't give you our oil.
Yeah.
And so they went out to the city to buy more oil.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, they could not find the five wise, because the Bible says that when the cry went out, the door was open and they that were ready went in and the door was shut.
Yeah.
And the five foolish was left out because they were ill-equipped. They were not prepared. They were not vigilant. They were not watching. He came looking for them and they weren't in place to respond.
Wow.
And so I think it just behooves again, us to stay vigilant, because whether you believe it or not, whether you desire it or not, whether you think it's going to happen or not, it's going to happen. Can I just read one scripture? Second Peter, the third chapter, kind of speaks to, I think Marlon made mention of it, and I kind of went a different way, but it brings it back home to, because you read your scripture, Second Peter, the third chapter, verse three, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Wow. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Let's drop down. Verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Let's just stop right there. Ultimately, it's saying, look, in the last days, there's going to be a rise of voices saying the end times are not real.
Wow.
There is no coming of the Lord. We've heard that all of our lives, and he hasn't showed up yet. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says, for this, they are willingly ignorant.
Yeah.
And he goes back and talks about the different times in the life of humanity, in the life of this world, where there were different dispensations of times, where he talks about, he refers to Genesis 1, where the earth was without form and void.
Yeah.
The firmaments was all mixed up together, and he separates them, which became the beginning of a new day of the earth. If you go back to what you read in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it says, as it were in the days of Noah. Noah preached for, 120 years? It's going to rain.
And it never rained before, right?
It had never rained before. So people, it was scoffers in his time, or agnostics in his time, saying, crazy. What is rain? And what is this big ship?
They ain't believing until it's too late.
Right, exactly. Their disbelief did not eliminate the fact or the truth that rain was coming. Their inability to understand and perceive did not stop the prophecy from being real. And today are just as it were in the days of Noah, where they're saying, what is his coming? We've been hearing that.
We've been hearing it,
The reason why it hasn't happened yet, it tells us, we read it. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Yeah.
God is not on our clock at all.
Yeah.
He's not on our clock. And we should be glad because it goes on to say that that God is not slack concerning his promise, as other men count slackness in 2 Peter 3 and 9. Watch this. He says, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. The reason why it hasn't happened yet is because God is giving us ample time to get ourselves together.
Undeserved time.
We don't even deserve this grace of time.
Yeah.
But because he really wants everybody to be saved, he really wants everybody to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, his son. He really wants everybody to be free and be delivered. He has given us time. And unfortunately, that grace of additional time is working against so many people, because now they're taking it for granted.
Yeah.
The Bible says, do not frustrate the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Paul said that, I believe that was. He said, I will not frustrate the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you give some of us too much rope, we're going to hang ourselves. Yeah. We're not going to make good on it because, well, I got away today. Yeah. Let me see what I can get away with tomorrow. Mm-hmm. When each scripture we have read, Mark, Matthew, Peter, is telling us stay vigilant, mm-hmm. stay alert, yeah. stay prepared, stay ready.
Yeah. And one of the things that you've said, that you come into our room and said before that really hit me, and you kind of noted on it at the beginning, is that you said, you know, while we all are born into the world, don't allow it to just be something common that you think that I was just born into this time, you know. Mm. I was just born into this season. It's like, but no, God actually dotted his I's and crossed his T's to make sure that we were born in this time. Mm-hmm. And you always tell us, you know, while you are fulfilling your purpose, while you are having fun, while you are with your friends, while you are pursuing the degree, while you are at work, don't forget that there is a bigger task at hand. And that's something that has always sat with me. And I mentioned at the beginning how I used to be scared of hearing the end times. And there are a lot of believers, believe it or not, that have never read the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Never touched it out of fear. And I was one of those people, and I was very scared. And I found out that as I started to read, that the rapture is actually a beautiful thing. Indeed. It's a very beautiful thing. And I had to realize that a lot of my love was for this world. And I come to learn that, you know, we're temporary residents here. And I had to realize that, you know, as long as I love the world and as long as I make this world my identity and different things, I will forever be scared for the rapture because I've stored up all my possessions here. You know, I found my identity in things here. And I had to kind of lose that and actually realize, you know, I'm a temporary citizen here. I'm actually a citizen of heaven.
That's right.
I think it says that in Philippians. Yeah. I'm a citizen of heaven and I'm a temporary resident here. But I think so many people have made earth their, you know, this is the end all be all. Right. And It's a verse. It's in Matthew chapter 16, right after Jesus is telling them, if any man wants to be my disciples, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Right after that, he says in verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And I had to realize that, you know, I held my life and I held my time here on earth very precious to myself. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, hey, no, if you lose your life, you will find it. You know what I mean? He who loses his life will actually gain his real life. And there may be somebody out there that, like, this life here on earth, this, you hold it so precious to your heart, not realizing that there is a real life on the other side. You know, can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. I think that that's great. One, we look at life as being ours.
Yeah.
The reality is our life is not ours. Mm-hmm. Our life is his. Mm. Think about it. The breath that we're breathing, where did it come from?
God.
It's from God. It's God's. We have God's breath. How do we get God's breath? Back over in Genesis. Mm. When he took dust of the earth, formed it, made clay, fashioned, molded out man, and then the Bible says that then he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Mm. He only breathed one time. The breath that was in him, in Adam, was then passed on to Eve. Mm-hmm. And the breath that was in Eve was passed on to Cain and Abel.
Wow.
And from generation to generation until all of us now, until the end of the earth, we're all existing off of his breath.
Mm. It's your breath. My
fault. And so your life is not yours. Jeremiah in chapter 1, I believe it is, he said, Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's belly, mm-hmm. I knew you. Yeah. And I ordained you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I set you aside. And so then when you look at the book of Colossians, chapter 3 it is, or maybe chapter 1, when you look at St. John chapter 1, all of them corroborate the storyline that the Bible says that we were made by him. The Bible says all things were made by him, and without him, there was nothing made that was made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Bible says we were made for his pleasure. Mm-hmm. So if we're made for his pleasure, then our life is not our own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole reason why you're here is because there was something, there was a need in the earth that God made you the answer and solution to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it is your responsibility, is my responsibility, is our responsibility to fulfill our God-given purpose and to fulfill the destiny for which we were even called into existence. Mm-hmm. The whole science behind a woman and a man coming together to bring forth a child is a miracle in and of itself, of how, from a scientific standpoint, a child is even born. There were many eggs, there were many sperms, mm-hmm. and yet what was necessary to bring you into fruition and I into fruition is what came forth.
Yeah.
And we didn't come forth by accident. We were created on purpose for purpose.
Yes, Lord.
We were created on purpose for purpose, and it is ours to glorify God. Because watch this, there is, in the end times, a judgment.
Yeah,
yeah.
People don't talk about judgment. Nah. All right? If it's in the text that you all have read, a man gave to his servants possession, gave them money, and then he went away, and then he came back to give an account.
Yeah. Yeah.
What have you done with your time? What have you done with what I gave you? These are parables that lends forth a greater meaning of what God is saying, what he's going to do with us. I gave you life.
Yeah.
I gave you a purpose. I gave you an assignment. I gave you a function. Mm-hmm. What did you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about end times, one of the things about end times, there's a judgment of the righteous and then there's a judgment of the unrighteous.
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to be judged on?
Yeah.
We're going to be judged on, did we fulfill our God-given task?
I love that we're here right now, because I think we can even make it more practical for those that are listening, especially on the point of how everybody in the world has a specific gift, talent, whatever it is that God has called them to fulfill in this earth, to give him the glory, to help this earth in some type of way. And I love how 1 Peter chapter 5 says it for verses 2 through 4. And it says, in the NLT version, it says, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Verse 3, don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, God, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. And I love that verse so much, because it's a reminder of, no matter how big your platform is, no matter how many people you're called to impact, I don't care if it's one person or a million people, you have to steward it. You have to steward it correctly. Mm-hmm. Which is why, in that parable that you was talking about the parable with the talents and everything, each person was accredited different talents based on their skills and what they could be trusted with.
Yeah.
Each person is trusted with different things. Each person has a certain gift. We have a certain amount of people or a certain amount of souls trusted to that certain gift.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are looking towards other people's talents and other people's gifts and are not paying attention to what they're actually supposed to be doing with the gift that they have in hand, or who they're called to actually take care of, who they're called to lead to the right, to the water, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just love that so much, because it reminds me of, no matter how big or small, or how big or small I may perceive what it is, even one soul is just as important as a person that has a million souls that they have to look after.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful to me.
Now, and everything you're saying is so true. Now, in the text, the talents was money.
Yeah.
The talents was money. However, the Bible says over in the book of Ephesians, I believe it is, he says that God gives out the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
According to his will, which ties into what you're saying about talents, gifts, abilities, graces, offices, spiritual offices. Everybody is different. Everybody is unique. There may be some overlapping in some areas, but yet and still, you are distinguished. You're distinct from others in some form or fashion, and it is ours to operate in the office, in the calling, in the grace, in the gifting, in the talent, in the skill set that God has given us. And we need to get busy about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people wait and they think, you know, I got to be 30, 40 years old before I get serious about God. No, you don't know the day nor the hour when he's going to return. But let's look at it a different way. Let's turn the corner. All right, you don't want to deal with the fact because you don't believe Jesus exists. You don't want to deal with the fact that he's going to return. All right, let's deal with the fact you don't know when you're going to die.
Yeah, let's.
You want to die empty. Don't die putting off for tomorrow what you could have done today. Yeah.
Tomorrow's
you gotta
not promise.
It's not promise. You got to maximize the moment now.
Yeah.
You got to make today count because people are dying of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Life is not guaranteed that you will live to be 80 years old.
Yeah.
My father, your grandfather, died at 76.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandmother, my mother, died at 69. I have a cousin who died at 39.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest sister, who I never got the chance to know, was only a few days old when she died. You don't know how much time. We don't know how much time.
Yeah.
And so therefore we gotta again be vigilant because Jesus is going to return whether you believe it or not. And even if you don't believe it, maximize your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For those of you that are believers, you know, make sure that you're fulfilling your God-given purpose.
Yeah.
Because the text says, if you save your life, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
But if you lose your life for his sake, you'll find it again. Be found diligent in what he has called you to do. And I say this all the time. You want to try to find out your purpose early on in life.
Yeah.
You don't want to wait. My mentor, the late, great Apostle Otis Lockett, Bishop Otis Lockett, used to say, and I say it all the time now, if you don't know the purpose of a thing, you're bound to abuse it. Mm-hmm. And many people go off abusing their life way too late in their adult years.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing when you're a teenager, it's mm-hmm. one thing in your 20s, yeah. but you want to come into the real revelation of why you exist as soon as you can, which means that you got to be intentional about searching out God.
Yeah. I kind of want to go back to the judgment part.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you come into knowledge, all of this, it's somebody out there that may be like, okay, well, I've given my life to Christ. You know, my spot is secure, right? I'm mm-hmm. saved. I know when God comes, he's coming for his church. And I want to go back to the judgment piece because if our lives are not our own, if our gifts are not our own, if our talents and our purpose, because in this generation, it's a message out there that our purpose is about us. Our purpose is to make us money. Our purpose is to do all of these things for us and to give ourselves pleasure. But our ultimate purpose is, of course, to glorify God, but then also to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to share the faith with those who are not secured in salvation? Because I know that once I became saved, I used to feel like, okay, it's just me and God. It's just me and my relationship with God. And then I realized how important it is to tell lost souls about God and about Jesus. And, you know, as I'm in the workplace and as I see different people who don't know God, different people in other religions, different people who are lost. And as we say, different people who are sick and don't even know they're sick and
yeah.
in need of a cure. And they're looking for a cure and all these other things. And you're like, man, I wish I can tell them about the cure that I have through Jesus Christ. How important is it not only to go about your life and fulfill your God-given purpose, but also tell the lost about Jesus Christ? Because there is a judgment, like you said, and many people don't talk about that side. Mm-hmm. We try to fluff it up a little bit, and because we don't want to tell people that, you know, if you're not on the Lord's side, it's going to get it's going to get ugly, right?
Right, it's going to get ugly.
And it's the hard truth. The gospel is offensive. We're not offensive, but the gospel itself is mm-hmm. offensive. And Jesus already said it's not his Father's wish that any man perish, you know. But it's the sad truth.
Our assignment, the Great Commission,
yeah,
is to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whichsoever I have commanded thee. And lo, yeah. I'm with you always, into the end of the earth, into the age. When he says preach to all nations, he's saying disciple nations.
Yeah.
That's what that means, is to disciple nations.
That's Matthew 28:19.
Yeah, Matthew 28:19. That is our responsibility.
Yeah.
That's our God-given responsibility, that once we enter into the kingdom of God, is to go back and get somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how we will testify of everything other than what is most important.
Yeah.
We'll tell everybody, hey, I went to this restaurant. The food was banging.
No facts. That is facts.
And we'll get excited about it. And if they'll be like, all right, I'm going to check it out. No, nah, you got to go. I'm telling you. And then you're going to start being descriptive. The ribs, the burger, the fry, yeah. the chicken tenders.
Yeah.
you know, the salmon, you're going to go into it. Or if you somebody find a good discount at a store and say, look, go check out my guy. Mm-hmm. He's giving out good discounts. You can get them Air Jordans at this price. Yeah. And we're so excited about that. And then here we have the greatest gift of all. Man. Jesus, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yeah. And here we have this abundant life that allows us to enter into eternal life. Yeah. And we don't want to say anything about it.
Yeah,
and he says, no, go out into the highways mm-hmm. and the hedges and compel them to come mm-hmm. that my house might be full. You shouldn't want to be the only one saved in your family,
yeah.
especially when we all know that are saved, that things are going to get bad. Yeah. Heaven is real. And conversely, hell is real.
Let's say it again. Say both of them.
Yeah. Heaven is real. Yeah. Hell is real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so because you have been saved, you've been redeemed in the blood wash, why not want to see other people be saved?
Yeah.
Let us all escape the hellfire and the damnation that is to come for those who do not trust God.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, hell was not built for us.
Yeah.
Hell was built for Satan. Mm-hmm. And then Satan, in his rebuttal to God, is trying to take all of that God loves with him.
Yeah.
The same way he was able to influence a third of God's angels to revolt is the same way he's doing it again by trying to get mankind, who was made in the image and likeness of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Mm-hmm. He's trying to get God's beloved creation that God gave dominion to over the earth. And he said, God, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to give what you love and I'm going to get them to follow me. Yeah. I'm not going to hell alone. Well, the devil can be smart enough to say, I'm not going to hell alone. Why can't we be smart enough to say, I'm not going to heaven alone?
That's good.
I won't somebody to escape. Hell wasn't built for us.
Yeah.
It was built for him. Why are we going with him?
Yeah, facts.
He didn't get grace. Yeah. He gave us grace.
Yeah.
Let's make good on the grace of God and go back with him and corral as many people as we can to do it. Why? Because over it, not only is it the Great Commission, but if you read over in John the 4th chapter, when is the story about the woman at the well, and Jesus said, look on the fields. He said, there's white to harvest already. Yeah. The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. He said, now when you go into my harvest, he said, there's a reward for reaping the harvest of God.
Yeah.
So harvest of God, reaping the harvest of God is just good just off of practical merits of, I don't want my mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter to go to hell.
Yeah.
I don't want my friends to go to hell. So just for just basic terms, we should be trying to reap the harvest. But then Jesus go on to say, hey, there's a benefit. There's a benefit. He said, he that reaps my harvest will receive a reward in this life and in the life to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so God, so now I'm on God's payroll. I'm on God's payroll when I go out and reap a harvest. The Bible says that we will receive a crown that does not perish.
Yeah.
And we can go on and on and on with
never
the benefits.
Never ending glory.
Yeah, a never ending glory. Mm-hmm. We can go on and on and on with the benefits of winning souls. But this is what we're called to do. Soul business is our business.
Yeah.
We are part of our Heavenly Father's business, and he's in the business of redemption.
Yeah.
He's in the business of salvation. So now we are in the business of salvation. That's why he said that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. That's in, I think, Second Corinthians.
Yeah.
And then he says, and now he's given to us
the ministry
of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm reconciling and I sent my son.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
My son is reconciling. He gave his life.
Yeah.
And now so send I you to reconcile.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what we're called to do.
So before we get out of here, what do you think is some ways that, especially for those that's already been Christians, but also for the new generation that's coming up, what are some practical ways that we can change our mindsets or change our heart postures to try and fulfill the Great Commission in an effective way?
I think that comes with spiritual maturity. That comes with you having a true relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, Acts 1:8, before you get to Acts 1:8, in Acts, the first chapter, the disciples was dealing with the risen Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus had died, had buried, had been raised again from the grave, walked with them for 40 days and 40 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that time period, as he's preparing to depart from them, they getting excited. It's like, is now the time that we shall reign and rule over thrones and so forth? And then Jesus says, times and seasons are in God's hand, and it's not given to you to know the times and seasons.
Yeah.
But Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think that when you have a true relationship with God, when your relationship with God is intact and you have that spiritual fervor, that becomes your goal and aim. Mm. Unfortunately, a lot of believers are not intact with God. They come to church. They have the religious mantra. They once were on fire for God, but somehow, some way, they've lost their spiritual fervor.
Yeah.
And we get caught up with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. We become distracted. But when your lamps are trimmed and burning bright, when you are full of the zeal of God, Jesus said, the zeal of God's house has eaten me up. When you, many of us have to get to the place where we got to get back to where we, our first love, when we first got saved, because when we first got saved, we were on fire. When we first got saved, we had joy, unspeakable and full of glory. We
want to read the Bible.
It's all, that's an automatic. You want to tell everybody. So if you're not wanting to tell everybody, you didn't become complacent. You've become lukewarm.
Constantly.
Revelation says he would that you be hot or cold, because if you're not hot or cold, he'll spew you out of the mouth. Most Christians have become lethargic. So the answer is you got to get back on your grind and get back into your right place in relationship with God so that your heart can be postured right. You got to spend time in prayer and in study of the word and become zealous about it. Allow your walk with God to be more than just fulfilling a tradition or a responsibility. I got to preach on Sunday, so let me get a message. No, I got to read the Bible, whether I'm preaching or not, out of my love for God. Out of developing a relationship with God and wanting to know God, and the best way to know God is to spend time with God in prayer, in fasting, and in study of God's word. And when you get to a place where this is about relationship and not just about function in the body of Christ, but this is about having a relationship with him, then you are going to get on fire and get excited about telling somebody else about this great Savior.
My last thing, I was going to say, what should we be doing in the during the end times? But I feel like you kind of answered that, and we've kind of answered that throughout this conversation. I was reading this book this morning, and it's called Becoming Like Jesus. And it emphasizes three main points, and you kind of talked about it. And it says three main points. It said, be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do as Jesus did. And those are like the three main points. And he talks about how everybody tries to jump to point three, do as Jesus did. So they try to preach. They try to go out and do this. They try to skip all of these steps and do for Jesus and do things in the name of Jesus without, number one, spending time with him, getting to know him, and then number two, becoming like him. So I think that's very good.
One of
the main points, because I don't want anybody, and I'm glad I read this morning, one of the main points that I read in the book that really, my jaw was dropped when I read it. It said that, I don't want to mess it up. It said that Jesus is more concerned with heaven getting into you than you getting into heaven. And when I first read that, I was like, well, what does that mean? And I was like, no, it makes sense. If you focus on heaven getting into you, you don't have to focus on so much on, I got to get there. If you just focus on Jesus getting into you and you becoming more like Jesus, you know, that's going to be a given.
Right.
So what my last thing would be, because we have come out of a crucial election and we have seen the body of Christ in an uproar. It's people saying this, it's other people saying that. It's people are panicking.
Right.
The body of Christ is panicking. And while we do know there will be crazy days and bad days ahead, we also know there will be good days ahead. And I read this morning where Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, you know, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail. We know that that's a promise. So while there is dark days ahead, what is some encouragement that you can give to the body of Christ today for the times that we are living in right now and also for the times to come ahead?
I think this is a great place to hang our hat for the evening. And that is Second Timothy, I think it's the fourth chapter.
He knows where it is.
Bible story.
You know,
somewhere in there. Somewhere in there. He talks about in the last days, there are going to be a falling away, and that there will be those that give way to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons.
Yeah.
And he talks about how bad the times will be because people will reject God. Mm-hmm. And that's in 1 Timothy around the fourth chapter. And then 2 Timothy around the third chapter, it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Mm-hmm. Men will become lovers of themselves. Yeah. They will become abusers, disobedient to parents, so forth and so on. And it gives this long litany of things: lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now both texts deals with how bad the times will be, how wicked man will become, how evil the days will come. Now here's where the consolation is. When you read Acts the second chapter, it says, and knowing this, that in the last days God will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Yeah. Now, let's back this up. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy both start off by saying in chapter 4 and chapter 3, respectively, of the books, in the last days, and they note the last days by evil, by wickedness, by the abundance of evil, by the abundance of wickedness. Mm-hmm. But then if you look over in Romans, the Bible says, there's a passage of scripture that says, where sin abounds, grace doth more abound. Mm. So God has way more grace than we have sin.
That's so crazy.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then to prove it, the last days marked by wickedness and evil. But then Joel prophesied and Peter picks it up and says, hey, in the last days, not only will there be evilness and wickedness, but God said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. Yeah. And upon my handmaidens and my servants in their days will I pour out my spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you saying, Bishop? What are you saying, Dad? I'm so glad you asked. We are at the cusp of one of the greatest revivals in mankind. And what this generation should be doing is not becoming afraid of the turbulence and the challenges and how tumultuous the days will become because of the evilness, but get excited about the fact that there's more grace than there is sin.
Yeah.
And that God says, I'm looking for vessels to pour myself into. I'm looking for vessels to put heaven in so that we can get more people into heaven and get people out of hell. And so I think this is an exciting time because revival is imminent. And God is looking for vessels to use in these last and evil days. I believe I'm a vessel. I believe you all are vessels. I believe there are many that are watching that are vessels. And instead of fearing, we should be getting in our word, get ready, because God is going to do signs and wonders.
Yeah.
The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they pick up any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. I think that while there are things to be concerned about, if you're in God's hand, there's some things to be excited about.
Yeah.
And that is how God will use us in these last and evil days.
That's very beautiful.
That was what he...
And I want to say one last thing. I think this would be a perfect spot to end it. You mentioned revival, and we've heard, just like the end times, we always hear revival is coming, revival is coming. Your sister Albanita texted CL and was like, CL texted me on behalf of Albanita and was like, Albanita said, what does revival look like for Virginia, I believe? Or what does revival look like for more purpose? And I literally was sitting down thinking about it.
Yeah, in Virginia.
Yeah, and just in general, like, what does revival look like? And the first thing I thought of was, you know, revival looks like repentance.
Absolutely.
And the prerequisite for revival is repentance.
That's right.
And I feel like everything that is to come all of those bad times, ultimately the main goal is to lead us to repentance. So in this moment, just to end us off, there's somebody that was listening. There's somebody that knows God, that has drifted away, that has fallen asleep, like the first verse we read. And there's somebody that may be tuning in that has been around church, has been around God, but doesn't really know him in a personal way. Can you just lead them to repentance and into the faith?
Absolutely. The Bible says, the word in Romans, I think it is 10 and 9, might be 10 and 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth man confesseth unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The Bible says if any man, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, it talks about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The beautiful thing about revival is repentance. Repentance means, is a military term, basically, and it means like about face, that you go in the opposite direction that you'd be going in. Yeah. For those of you that know that you've been going in the wrong direction and you've ended up in a dead end, this is your time to repent. This is your time to make an about face, not a 360, because that puts you right back where you were, but a 180. Run swiftly to God. You don't have to stay in the state that you're in. The potter, God the Father, wants to put you back together again. If you don't mind just praying this prayer with us and saying, Lord. Dear Lord, I accept you.
I accept you.
Into my life.
Into my life.
As Lord and Savior.
As Lord and Savior.
I believe that you came.
I believe that you came.
I believe that you lived a holy life.
I believe that you lived a holy life.
I believe that you died for my sins.
I believe that you died for my sins.
I believe that you rose again for my sins.
I believe that you rose again for my sins.
And that you're now sitting.
That you're now sitting.
On the right hand of God the Father.
On the right hand of God the Father.
And that you will come again.
And that you will come again.
And receive me unto yourself.
Receive me unto yourself.
Dear Lord, come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As Lord and Savior.
As Lord and Savior.
If you believe in the prayer that you just prayed, it's not about a feeling, it's about a knowing.
Yes, Lord.
You are saved.
Thank you.
And all you have to do is thank him and continue to walk with him through prayer, through study of his word, through connecting with a church home that can teach you and train you in the things of God.
Yeah.
You need a faith community. You need a spiritual community that you can abide in, and you need a pastor that will teach you the word and share the word of God with you so that you can be built up in your most holy faith.
Yeah.
So if you prayed that prayer with us and you meant it from your heart, you're saved right now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
You are saved.
Yeah.
Welcome God to the family. Forgave you.
Yeah.
Your sins are no more.
Yeah.
And that's all that I have to say.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
Clap it up one more time, man. Clap it up.
Yes, I feel like every time you get on, I always say, this is my favorite episode.
Facts.
This is my favorite episode. You are my favorite teacher, as I told you.
Mine as well.
I believe that this was just a timely episode that we talked about this.
It's crazy because this wasn't planned.
No, it wasn't.
At all.
It wasn't.
It wasn't planned at all. But I thank the Holy Spirit for even allowing this to be the next episode in the series, because God's just so timely. He's just so strategic.
Yeah.
But I believe that someone, if only one person got something from that, I believe that this episode is going to change the trajectory of where they were, and that God's going to start a wildfire for even where they are right now. Even if they're, he's going to meet them right where they're at. And I love that so much, that God can be so loving, so strategic, that he'll meet them wherever they are. They don't have to be at the altar right now. They could be right in their bedroom, and God can meet them right there. And I hope that y'all truly believe what you have stated, truly believe that Jesus is right there with you, because I promise you he is. Bet on him. Trust him, and I promise y'all he's going to blow your mind.
Can I just say one last thing? I don't want to leave anything off the table. The Bible says in 1 John, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
I left out of the prayer, Lord, I repent of my sins.
Yeah,
you have to repent of your sins.
Yeah.
To confess your sins simply means that you agree with God.
Yeah.
Your way is right.
Yeah.
My way is wrong.
Yeah.
And when you come to that point of repentance, of understanding your way is wrong and his way is right, and you make that about face, then he's willing to cleanse you of all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Powerful episode, man. Dad, thank you again, once again, yes, for even hopping on the episode. We appreciate you so much. Another one.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Another Number one. Three. Let us know if y'all want to have him back on, too.
For sure.
And let them know where they can reach you and your church locations.
You can join us. God has blessed us with three fantastic ministries. If you're in the Hampton Roads area, you can meet us at the Gala Events Center on Military Highway in Chesapeake, Virginia. We're there on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. 9:30 a.m. on Sundays. Again, that's Gala Events Center, Chesapeake, Virginia at 9:30 a.m. You can meet us on Sundays at 12 noon at the historic Mount Tabor Church of God in Christ in Smithfield, Virginia. That's 13468 Waterworks Road, Smithfield, Virginia. And then on Saturdays and on fourth Sundays, that's Saturdays and then on fourth Sunday, you can meet us if you're in the DMV area, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Northern Virginia. You can meet us at Dominion Nova. Dominion Nova, we're at 110 North Fayette Street, Alexandria, Virginia. On Saturdays, we're there at 12 noon. On fourth Sunday, we're there at 4 o'clock. That's the Gethsemane Life Ministries Church building where we're having service at, but we are the Dominion Nova Church. Come where men are celebrated, women are honored, and children are loved.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir.
We love y'all. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe. And as always, it's always more purpose. You just have to find yours.
Yes, sir.
We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all be safe.
Love.
Until next time. Love.